Good evening. It's good to see everyone this evening, and we appreciate especially those who are visiting with us. We're thankful that you're here, and we hope that you'll come back as you have an opportunity. This evening, we want to look at a very popular New Testament topic, and that is the topic of faith. And it is a topic that often comes up in our discussions with others about Bible matters. If we are talking with someone of a religious nature, they typically know something about faith in the New Testament, the importance of believing in God or believing in Jesus Christ. And this evening, we want to look at a specific element or a specific area of the subject of faith. And that is that sometimes faith in the New Testament is used in a very comprehensive or broad sense to include all that God wants us to do to be saved. When we're talking with individuals of a religious nature, often there is misunderstanding with regard to faith. Most of the time when we talk with individuals, they've been taught when they hear faith in the New Testament or belief, it's faith only. And so it's often misunderstood to mean just simply something that you mentally assent to, something that you mentally agree to, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that you want Him to be your personal Savior, that type of thing. And faith is a mental acceptance, and then you might say something, but it's really not much more than that. And at that very moment, then, of course, God saves you. What we want to understand is that often when people read texts that have the word faith in it or believe, they read that as faith only. Turn with me to a very well-known passage, John chapter 3 and verse 16. John chapter 3 and verse 16. We've all heard this many times. Maybe we can even quote it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Here is an example of where faith is used in a verse and there's nothing else that is mentioned. And so the idea is that when I see faith and I just see that word by itself, then that means faith alone. And so by faith alone, I am saved. In fact, we're going to come back to this key text in just a moment. So when many read the text, believe or whosoever believeth, verse 16, they see in their mind, because they've been taught by their religion, whosoever has faith only. And they conclude that. We want to study this evening that it's never just faith alone. In the text that Shannon had earlier in James chapter 2 and verse 19, you believe that God is one, you do well, even the demons believe and shudder. Look at that. If we're saved by faith alone, wouldn't the demons be saved because they have faith? And wherever I see faith alone, and that's what saves. Even the demons believe. But they're not going to be saved. So when we see the word believe, is it belief only? Is there something more involved? And that's what we want to study this evening. It will help us to have a better understanding of faith, and it will help us to talk with our religious friends and neighbors about that as well. When we turn in the New Testament, we find that faith is used in at least three different ways. Turn with me to Acts chapter 6 and verse 9. When the gospel was going into all the world in the book of Acts, there's different conversions that are recorded there. And in the city of Jerusalem, Peter and John and others are preaching the gospel. And we find that a great number of priests, Acts chapter 6 and verse 9, a great number of the priests were obedient to the faith. That should be verse 7, excuse me. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Acts 6, verse 7. Notice in your Bible that it says that they were obedient to the faith. That's not their personal faith. Sometimes the word faith is used in the New Testament to mean the body of teaching that is preached or that is taught. Ephesians 4, 1, there is one faith. That's not talking about there is one personal faith inside of you. It's talking about one body of teaching that you hold in your hand. In Jude 3, contend earnestly for the faith. You're not contending for your own personal beliefs. You're contending for the gospel, the New Testament. And so sometimes the word faith is used objectively. That means outside of us, like an object that is outside of us. The New Testament teaching, it's God's word. Here's my Bible out here. It's outside of me. There's one New Testament teaching. It's called the faith. And there are many times in the New Testament where it's used that way. Sometimes the word faith is used for that which is inside me. This is outside me. This is the one body of the faith that I need to contend for, I need to be obedient to, and other types of things. But then sometimes the word faith is used for that which is inside me, so subjectively. Okay? And let's look at a couple of examples here. We've already read of one in James 2:19. James said, "Even the demons believe and shudder." Stop and think about that. What did they believe? There was something specifically that they believed. James says they believe that God is one. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe. They believe that specific thing about God. Turn with me to John 8 and verse 24. Jesus said, "Except you believe that I am," talking about the great I am, deity, "you shall die in your sins." Sometimes the word faith is used to mean believing a specific point about Christ or about God. You don't believe everything about it. You're just believing something specifically about Him, something that you're willing to accept and trust. Look at John chapter 12 and verse 42. This will help us to understand and keep some things from being confused. In John chapter 12 and verse 42, "Nevertheless, even of some of the rulers, many believed on Him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess it." Now let me ask you this. Were these people saved? No, they weren't even willing to confess Jesus. But it said they believed on Him. They believed something specifically about Jesus, but not enough to fully obey Him and confess it and become one of His followers. But they believed on Him. They believed some things about Him. Specifically, they were able to believe some things. James 2:19, the demons, they don't believe and accept everything about God, but they believe that He's one. So it can be something of a very specific nature, or in John 5:1, believing that Jesus is the Son of God. But turn with me now to Romans chapter 14. This is a little bit different sense. Sometimes faith, and it's used primarily here in Romans 14, to mean not what you believe about Jesus, but listen very carefully, a personal scruple that you have about something. It's not faith in Jesus. It's a personal scruple that you have about, in this case, whether or not you're going to eat meat. The word faith is used. Look at Romans chapter 14 and verse 1. "But let him that is weak in faith receive ye, and not for decisions of scruples." This doesn't mean him that is weak, he doesn't really believe in Jesus very much. That's not how it's being used here. It's being used to mean I have a strong scruple that I can eat meat or I don't have that faith. Look at verse 2. "One man hath faith to eat all things." That's the context of the word faith here in Romans 14. It doesn't mean your belief in Jesus. It means you have a faith that you can eat all things, but he that is weak in faith, eats only herbs. Some person can eat vegetables and meat, and another person is weak in faith. So it has nothing to do with belief in God or belief in Jesus in this context. It has to do with, we could put in for a synonym, a strong conscience about something, or I don't have a conscience about that. Look at verses 22 and 23. "The faith which you have," that's not your personal belief in Jesus. It's going back through this context of if you have a faith that you can eat meat and vegetables or not, that's what's being discussed here. "The faith which you have to yourself before God. Happy is he that judgeth not himself and that which he approveth. But he that doubteth," that is, if he tries to eat something and he's not fully assured about that, "is condemned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith." Look at that. He eateth not of faith. He's not eating with a conscience that is fully assured. That's how faith is being used in Romans 14. "And whatsoever is not of faith is sin." That doesn't mean whatsoever is not of the Scriptures is sin. That's true, but that's not what this verse is talking about. It's talking about whatsoever is not of faith. If I'm doing something and I'm not eating with a fully assured conscience, then I'm doubting and I'm going ahead and doing it when I really don't think I should be doing it. That's sin. And so faith is being used here in the sense of one's personal conscience. And then last of all, and this is what we want to spend our time on, turn back with me to John chapter 3 and verse 16. We're going to look at some verses above and we're going to look at some verses below. Sometimes the word faith, and here's where our religious friends miss it. Sometimes the word faith is used in a comprehensive or broad way to mean all that God wants us to do to obey Him in order to be saved. And because our religious friends and neighbors miss this point, they will read a verse that has the word faith in it and they see faith only. Or they will read a verse that has believe in it and they're thinking faith only, because nothing else is mentioned there. There's no other actions mentioned there. But they misunderstand that sometimes faith is used for a specific thing that we might believe. Sometimes it's used in Romans 14 for a personal conviction. And sometimes it's used to mean all that God wants us to do in order to be right with Him. And John 3:16 is actually an example of that. We're going to see this evening, look at it, whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have eternal life. There's no baptism mentioned there. There's no repentance mentioned there. There's no confession mentioned there, those words. So you don't have to do those things in order to be saved? Well, of course not. Faith is used here to include all that God wants us to do, and it's going to include those other things. And that's what we're going to demonstrate in the lesson this evening. Now, how can this be? How is it that faith or belief can be used broadly or comprehensively to include other actions? Why is that, or how can that be? That's what we want to answer this evening. And we don't just simply want to assert that without demonstrating that. We don't want to make that claim and not demonstrate that. We wouldn't be any different than the person who makes the claim that when I see faith only. We don't just want to make a claim. We want to demonstrate that. And so what we're going to show this evening is that sometimes faith is used in the New Testament to mean a broad, comprehensive action of all that God wants us to do. And the way we're going to do that this evening is we're going to consider four facts about how that faith is used in this way. We're going to demonstrate it this way. And at the end of the lesson, we can read John 3:16, and we have no problem just reading whosoever believes, because we understand more about faith. And that's all Jesus actually had to say. When we understand everything we're supposed to understand about faith, then all Jesus has to say is, whosoever believes will have eternal life. But we really understand what that means, you see. It doesn't mean faith only. As we're going to see from these four principles that are laid down in Scripture, we're going to see that whosoever believes, and that includes all that God wants me to do, shall never perish but have eternal life. Let's begin with the very first principle or fact this evening, right here in John chapter 3. Turn with me to John chapter 3, and I want to begin the reading back in verse 14. And what we're going to notice this evening is that sometimes the word faith is used by itself in a verse when it's in a context of obedience to other things. Jesus is speaking here to Nicodemus. And he talks about how that we must be born again in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven, verse 5. And he comes on down and he's continuing to talk to Nicodemus. And look at what he says in verse 13. And no one hath ascended into heaven, but he that descendeth out of heaven, even the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Look at it. That whosoever believeth, this is the exact same thing as verse 16. What is said in verse 15 is the same thing that is repeated in verse 16. Whosoever believeth may in him have eternal life. You see, whosoever believeth, verse 16, whosoever believeth. Verse 15, whosoever believeth. Verse 16, whosoever believeth. Now some come along and say, well, believe, there's nothing else mentioned there, so that's faith only. No, look at verse 14. What Jesus said with regard to the Old Testament story of the serpent, Just as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man may be lifted up, that whosoever believeth may have eternal life. So just like this was done back in the Old Testament, this will happen to Jesus. And just like Moses put a serpent up there, Jesus is going to be lifted up on the cross, that whosoever believeth may have eternal life. Now, let me ask you this. What happened back there in the book of Numbers? Was it faith only back in the book of Numbers? If it was faith only back in the book of Numbers, then you would have a point. But if it's not faith only, and if Jesus is saying that what's going to happen with me and all who believe on me is just like what happened back then we have a comparison. And what is that? Turn back with me now to Numbers chapter 21. It's a illustration to show that obedience has to take place. There's obedience taking place. Do you remember when the children of Israel were coming through the wilderness and they were complaining and murmuring from time to time? And on this particular occasion, they're complaining and murmuring. And so God sends out fiery serpents among the people, and much people of Israel died, verse 7. And the people came to Moses, verse 7. We have sinned because we have spoken against Jehovah and against thee. Pray, Jehovah, that he take away the serpents from us. How? How? Through faith only? Through just mentally accepting something? Just mentally accepting God? Take away the serpents. We would say today, take away the sin. We need our sins forgiven. Take away the serpents. How? Faith only? No, keep reading. And Moses prayed for the people. And Jehovah said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it up on a standard. John 3:14, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man may be lifted up, that whosoever believeth may have life in his name. So Moses takes this, makes this fiery serpent. Make thee a fiery serpent and set it up on a standard or a pole. And it shall be, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he seeth it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and set it upon a standard. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked unto the serpent of brass, he lived. Underscored in your Bible, you gotta look in order to live. You gotta do something. There's a condition here. It's not just, well, Moses, I'm not gonna go down there and look at that serpent. I'll just sit here in my tent and I'll just personally believe that God is my Savior. I'll just have faith that what's going on down there will cleanse me too. No, you gotta go down there and you gotta look at it. And when you look at it, you'll live. And so there's obedience. That's what Jesus said, that when I'm lifted up, whosoever believeth, we've just been talking about an Old Testament story of obedience, whosoever believeth may have eternal life. Belief is being used for obedience. Belief is being used for all that God wants me to do. And in the case of the Israelites, it was look and live. And in the case of Jesus, it's those things that he lays down. Turn with me to some other examples now in the book of Acts with regard to some cases of conversion. Look with me at Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 when Peter was preaching to the household of Cornelius. Look at verse 43. To him bear all the prophets witness that through his name everyone that believeth on him shall receive remission of sins. But keep reading. The story doesn't end there. By verse 48, he commands them to be baptized. Look at it. In the name of Jesus Christ, that whoever believeth on him shall have remission of sins, and they are commanded to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Belief is being used of whatever else is being told to do. And in this case, they are commanded to be baptized. Turn with me to the case of the jailer in Acts chapter 16. What is going on here, brethren and friends, is that the religious world reads a verse that has the word believe in it. And they've been taught to see faith only. When they don't understand that these words, look at it, these words are often in a context that if you read just above it, you'll begin to see obedience. And when you read just below it, you're going to begin to see some obedience. Yes, I'm reading a verse that has the word believe in it, but it's in a context above and below where obedience is being described and encouraged. And so verse 14, it's obedience in the Old Testament. In verse 48, it's the obedience to baptism. baptism. And we're going to see the same thing now. Look at Acts 16. Of course, we remember the story of Paul and Silas in jail there at midnight. And when the jailer comes trembling, look at verse 30. "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house." The religious world reads that and just stops. And all they see is faith only. The word "believe" here, like in Acts 10, like in John 3, 15 and 16, is used to include all that God wants. How do we know that? Keep reading. "And he took them," he, the jailer, "took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes," that shows his repentance and remorse, "and was baptized, he and all his immediately." Now look at it. "He brought them into the house and set food before them and rejoiced greatly with all his house," look at it, "having believed in God." Well, what was that? Well, back up. Having believed in God, what did he just do? Well, one thing he did was he listened to the preaching. Verse 32, "they spake the word to him." That was a part of believing in God. Washing their stripes, being baptized, that's all a part of believing. Having believed, well, back up and see what he did. He just had mental faith only. No, he heard. He washed their stripes. He was baptized. And so belief in one verse, we have to read it with the rest of the verses. Let's look at some other examples of this. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, we find that the newly formed church there is in Jerusalem. Look at verse 44. How are these new Christians described in Acts 2:44? "And all that believed were together and had all things in common." All that believed. What is that? It's all that group of people that had faith only. Right? All that believed. And what it was a big crowd that at one time, they just all accepted Jesus as their personal Savior. And in their heart, they believed that. They're called believers. All that believed. No. Back up to verse 37. It starts with him hearing the preaching and being pricked in the heart and Peter telling them, "Repent and be baptized." And then verse 41, some 3,000 souls are baptized into Christ. And they're called the believers. Not the faith-onlyers, the believers. Belief is being used for everything that they had done up to that point. And so it's easily seen. Look at the Corinthians. This becomes very clear. This is interesting. And it becomes very easy to show our friends. If we don't understand this, then in the same verse, you're going to have two different plans of salvation. In the same verse, if we don't understand what's going on here. Do you remember when Paul was preaching in the city of Corinth and he's preaching the gospel there? Look at verse 8. Acts 18:8. "And Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with all his house." Stop right there. Somebody might read that and think, faith only. He believed with all his house. But look at the very next part of the verse. "And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized." Now let me ask you this. Will belief get you saved only? Or hearing, believe, and be baptized? Which is it? Did Crispus do one thing and the rest of the town had to do three things? Crispus just had to do one thing. He had to believe. But the rest of them, they had to do three things. Hearing, believe, and being baptized. Do you see? We're going to get crossed up in the same verse when we read the word believe, we just see faith only. Look at the first part of the verse. Crispus did the same thing that the Corinthians did. The Corinthians did the same thing that Crispus did. But when it comes to Crispus, Luke describes it as he believed with all of his house. Belief is inclusive of, it's comprehensive of, it broadly includes hearing and being baptized. You can either say that someone believed, or you can say that hearing, believed, and baptized, you're saying the same thing. Why? Because belief is being used to include all that they were supposed to do in order to be saved. And it's interesting that Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:14 that he actually baptized Crispus. And that's an interesting thing. So, he was personally there. Look at Acts 19 with me. Acts 19. Paul preached to them. Verse 4, John baptized in the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that you should believe on him. You should believe on him that should come after him, that is on Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized. Wait a minute. You're supposed to believe on him, but then the very next verse says, and he baptized them. Are we switching and doing something completely different? No, to believe on him is comprehensive of being baptized. To believe on Jesus includes being baptized. It's all that we're supposed to do. The Romans. Turn with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Belief, you can find the word believe in a verse and there's nothing else mentioned. And so when you're talking with your religious friends and neighbors about this, point out to them that you can have a verse with just the word believe in it. But it's in a context of talking about all that we're supposed to do in order to obey God. And the most famous one is John 3:16. Point out to them that the thought starts in verse 14, that just as Moses did this, we're supposed to do this with Jesus. And that Old Testament story is one of obedience. And so believing on Jesus is going to include the obedience that he wants us to do. Look at verse 11 with me. Romans 10, 11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew or Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, and rich unto all who call upon him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Look at verse 11. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be put to shame. Some read that and they think, well, faith only. No. Back up. What has been discussed? Starting in verse 8, we have to hear the word. The word is nigh thee, verse 8, in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. We have to hear the word of preaching. Read the next verse. Because if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, thou shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be put to shame. Believeth on him is inclusive of everything in verse 8, 9, and 10, which includes hearing the word, confessing with our mouth. We've got to stand up and say something. We've got to make the good confession. You see? And there are just many examples of this in the Word of God. Look at verse 14. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Every case of conversion in the New Testament always started, always without fail, with the preaching of the gospel. But verse 11, whosoever believeth is inclusive of all those things that are mentioned in that text. So, our first principle is that sometimes when the word believe, like in John 3:16, the famous faith-only passage in the denominational world, when there is a verse that has the word believe in it, it is often a verse that is used in a context that has obedience to other things in it. Here's our second principle. Believe, and this is very important. Believe, when Jesus says, believe in me, what does that mean? It refers to believing the words of Jesus and what he says to do. This is where some have gotten off track. Their definition of believe is accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Well, that's a mental act where you mentally accept that and Jesus is my Savior. But Jesus never even said believe was used that way for a mental acceptance. Jesus said that when you believe on me, it's not just a mental acceptance. You do what I say to do. It's very simple, and yet it's a very forgotten, simple concept. Let's look at it. Turn with me to John 5:47. Jesus said, how shall you believe my words? Belief on who? John 3:16. Whosoever believeth on him. It's never used for mental acceptance of him. It's used for doing what Jesus says. And we're going to see in a moment what Jesus says to do. It's never used of a mental acceptance. It's used of following the words of Jesus. In John 5:47, when Jesus rebukes the Jews here for not believing the testimony of Moses in the Old Testament about him. Verse 46, "For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his," look at it, "believe not his writings." His writings. Belief is connected with what Moses wrote. Jesus didn't accuse the Jews of just having some mental acceptance of Moses or not mentally accepting Moses. He accuses them of not believing the words of Moses. And then look at it. "How shall you believe my words?" When John 3:16 and other passages, "Whosoever believeth on him," that's "whosoever believeth on him." Well, how is belief used? Believing the words of Jesus. And this is all throughout the book of John. Look at chapter 2 and verse 22. "His disciples remembered that he spake this, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus said." When you believe on Jesus, you're believing his words. You see, the denominational world puts their own definition on belief, mentally accepting, but that's not even in the scripture. It's believing the words of Jesus. And we could illustrate this many times over, as you can see on the overhead there throughout the book of John. Believing the words of Jesus. Look at chapter 3 and verse 12. He told Nicodemus, "I told you earthly things and you believe not. How shall you believe if I tell you? Belief is tied in with what Jesus is saying. It's not just some mental acceptance. Now, that raises this question. If believing on Jesus means believing what he's saying, well then, what is Jesus saying? What is Jesus saying to do to be saved? Well, turn with me to Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Here's something Jesus said, and we have, when we believe in Jesus, we have to do what he says. Jesus said on one occasion, "Everyone therefore who shall confess me before men, him I will confess before my Father who is in heaven." Well, if I believe on Jesus, and believing is believing his words, I need to confess, just like he tells me to confess. Here's another thing Jesus said to do. Look at Luke 13 and verse 5. Jesus said, "Except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish." Well, if I'm going to believe on Jesus, and that means believing his words, then I better get up and do what he said, and I need to repent. Another thing that Jesus said to do is be baptized. In order to be born again, Jesus said you have to be born of the water. That's baptism, John 3, 5. Jesus said in Mark 16, 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." He told me to do that. He told me to repent. He told me to confess. And when I believe on Jesus, John 3, 16, I'm going to get up and do those things. You see, it was never, ever meant to be just some mental acceptance, but belief is always, by Jesus' own definition, believing my words. In fact, this is actually what is confirmed in the book of Acts. When you look at the cases of conversion, what are they believing? They're believing the words that are being spoken. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4 and verse 4. Acts chapter 4 and verse 4. We'll just look at one example and then we'll move along. The church continues to grow in Jerusalem after the day of Pentecost. Peter and John continue to preach. More souls are added. Look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 4. "But many of them that heard the word believed. And the number of the men came to be about 5,000. When they heard the word, they believed. Not when they had a mental acceptance and just mentally accepted in their heart. No, believing on Jesus means believing the words. And his words include, you have to confess him, you have to repent, you have to be baptized. This is illustrated in other passages in the New Testament. Do you see how that faith, you can have a verse with just the word believe in it, but it's used comprehensively of all those things that Jesus wants us to do. When we properly understand these words that are defined by the New Testament, and not, we're not going to let modern day theology define these words for us. Let Jesus define his own words. What he means by believing in me means believing the words that I say. Here's a third principle that is important in the New Testament. And that is that believe by nature, just by its word and its definition, means active obedience. That's why you can have a verse that just has the word believe in it, but because by its nature it's active in its obedience, you can just have that word. You don't have to have, in John 3:16, you don't have to have the word repent spelled out there or baptism, because believe by nature will lead to those things. Let's look at it. Never, ever is the word believe in the New Testament defined as simply mental accepting something alone. It's never defined that way. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, that great chapter on faith, there are many examples of faith beginning in the Old Testament with Abel and then Enoch, and coming all the way down to walking around the walls of Jericho. Example after example of someone is doing this by faith and someone is doing that by faith. Have you ever noticed all the verbs in this chapter? When it says that somebody did something by faith, it's followed by a verb. What that's showing is that faith is active. Look at it. For example, verse 4. By faith, Abel, what? It was just some mental thing. You turn back to Genesis chapter 4 where it talks about Cain and Abel there offering up sacrifices. And Abel is just, he's just mentally, sort of mentally accepting to offer up a sacrifice. No. He got out there and offered up a sacrifice. But he did it by faith. Why? Because faith, true faith, by nature, is active and obedient to whatever is believed. When God tells me to do something and it says that I believe, well, if it's true, and it's not just what the demons have, James 2:19, if it's true belief and true faith, it's going to naturally, by definition, get up and do what it's supposed to do. Look at Noah, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God concerning things not yet seen as yet, moved with godly fear, he just sort of mentally accepted the fact that there was going to be a flood. And he just accepted in his heart that there would be an ark, and he personally accepted that. I'm not trying to make fun of that, but just plug that lingo in that you hear today. Just plug that into these verses and see if it works. I'm not trying to make fun of that, but when you plug it in, you see how ridiculous that is. Just to say, well, you know, Abel just, he just mentally accepted, and no, look at it. What does the verse say? The very next word, prepared, verb, action, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Look at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, just sort of mentally accepted. No, he obeyed to go out into a place. And so we get the point. Faith by nature, true Bible faith, is always active and obedient to who or what is believed. That's why, one reason why I asked Shannon to read James 2, that's the whole problem in James 2, beginning in verse 14. Some of the Christians were just saying some things, but they weren't getting up and doing it. They weren't showing their good works, you see. Faith works, brethren. Galatians 5, 6. Faith working through love. Galatians 5, 6. 1 Thessalonians 1, 3. Faith, hope, and love. But Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 1:3, a work of faith. And so, in the third place, when we truly understand the nature of the word itself, we have no problem seeing a verse with just that word in it, when we understand that just that word, understood properly, is always going to be active. So, back to John 3:16, whosoever believeth, well, believeth is in a context of obedience, going back to Moses lifting up the serpent. Okay? And faith is doing what Jesus says in his words. And number three, faith is active and obedient. So yes, whosoever believeth is going to comprehend all of the things that we're supposed to do. And then last of all, and the lesson is yours, here's a fourth principle. The word believe, like other actions, can be mentioned by itself in a verse, But we're not to conclude from that that because there's one thing mentioned in a verse that alone is what saves. Turn with me to Romans 1:16. What's the one thing mentioned in Romans 1:16 that saves? Romans 1:16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Belief isn't even mentioned there. Belief is not even mentioned there. Baptism's not mentioned there. Confession's not mentioned there. We can have a verse where one thing is mentioned and salvation is attributed to it, but that one thing alone is not meant to save. We take all of what God's Word says. Turn with me to Romans 5, verse 9. The blood of Jesus is mentioned as saving. "In hope putteth not to shame, because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit which was given us." And then you come on down to verse 9. "Much more then, now being justified by His blood, shall we be saved from the wrath of God." Just blood is mentioned there. Well, is that blood only? You never hear about blood-only salvation. Have you heard anybody advocating blood-only salvation? But when you have a verse that has faith and nothing else is mentioned, you hear about faith only. Well, what about blood only? In Romans 10, verse 9, just confession and believe are mentioned. We get the point now. In chapter 10, verse 13, just calling upon the name. In Ephesians 2:8, it's grace through faith. In Titus 2:11, just grace is mentioned. How about grace-only salvation? How about mercy-only salvation? Titus 3:5. James says, "Receive the implanted word which is able to save your souls." How about just the word-only salvation? In 1 Peter 3:20 and 21, "Baptism doth also now save you." How about baptism-only salvation? You never hear anything like that, but you always hear about faith-only salvation. You ever wondered why? That's become the popular one. And the reason they say that is, well, faith is the only thing mentioned in that verse, so it's faith only. Well, baptism is the only thing mentioned in 1 Peter 3. We take all of what God's Word says, all of the things that are attributed to salvation, all of those things are necessary. You'll never find where blank alone saves. You never find that. Where just one thing alone saves. All of those things work together. God's grace and God's mercy and God's love and the blood of Jesus and baptism and confession and repentance, all of those things. God does His part. Jesus does His part. We're to do our part. All of that goes together to comprehensively save someone. There's never anything mentioned where such and such alone saves. So, faith. How is it used in the New Testament? Well, often it is used in a broad, comprehensive sense to include all that God wants us to do. Well, what have we learned? Well, this word believe, whosoever believeth, like all Bible words, we need to define it and use it according to Scripture. We don't need to define it based upon how the religious world would define it, the pastors and the preachers and the reverends, how they do that today. We just simply need to go back and look at how it's used in the Scripture. And if we were taught wrong about this word believe, and if we were taught that it's just faith only, and thousands upon thousands continue to be taught that today, then if we act upon that, then we're not truly saved. We have not done what we need to do to be saved. One reason why I had this on my mind and this lesson on my mind was we all know that Don was baptized just a couple of weeks ago. The week before that, Eric and I had a Bible study with him out at Eric's house. And this very thing was what came up. He was in prison in Florida. Gotten into trouble and was in prison. And one of the prison ministries came around, as they often do. And I appreciate people trying to, you know, help people in prison and rehabilitate them. But they need to do that the Bible way. And I was trying to teach some in the jail here years ago. I think it's very rewarding. I think good fruit can be born. But when you go in there, you have to teach what the Bible teaches and not what man teaches. But this prison ministry was teaching a typical faith-only salvation, as many of them do. And on one occasion, the man got done with the lesson and he said, "Anybody that would like to stand up and accept Jesus as their personal Savior can be saved at this very moment." And Don did that. I accept Jesus as my personal Savior, and I believe in Him. And the man said, well, you're saved. And then, time went by, and one thing led to another. Now he's up in this area. And so we studied about that, and we went through the cases of conversion. We went through some other things, and he began to realize that I was taught faith only, when the word faith is not used that way in the New Testament. And then it was the very next Sunday night that he came forward and wanted to be baptized into Christ. Many, many people are taught faith only. By God's providence and by God's grace, we have time to study with people. We have time to talk with people. You have friends and family and neighbors that have been taught faith only. Hopefully we can take this material and help them. And what happened was, we went through that Bible study, and at the end of it, Don said something to the effect of, well, what they did in the book of Acts was a lot different than what I was told to do, and I just need to do that. And you didn't hear it, but when he came forward that Sunday night and he came up front, he said to me, I just need to do what we read in the Bible that you're supposed to do. I didn't do that in that prison ministry. And I just need to do it the way that he said it. He said, I need to do it the way they did it. So teaching is good. We can help people. We can instruct people with the truth of God's word. And good and honest hearts, they just humbly accept it. There's no excuse making. There's no, well, I see that, but. He's just very transparent. And he just said, well, I didn't do it that way, and I guess I need to do it that way. And we just need to be humble and honest and love the truth and just simply do what we find in the New Testament. One last passage, and then the lesson is yours. For those of us who have believed, we have obeyed, we have done those things, what next? Is it just simply maybe spend the rest of our life in neutral? No. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 23, we need to get up each day after we have believed, which is comprehensively doing all that God wants us to do. What comes next? And this is the commandment, that we should believe in the name of the Son of Jesus Christ. Here's a great example of another passage where faith is used comprehensively. Believe in the name of the Son of Jesus Christ and love one another, even as He gave us commandment. And he that keepeth His commandments abideth in Him, and He in him. Get up each day, love one another, keep the commandments of God. And that's the encouragement that I leave you with. And hopefully this week we'll do that very thing. But if someone this evening needs to begin to exercise their faith in the biblical way, not faith only, but faith as it comprehends all of what Jesus wants us to do, if we can encourage you to do that, we have an opportunity to do that. The water is ready. The time is ready. We're not promised of a tomorrow. And for those of us who understand what the Scripture teaches about this, maybe we can use this material to talk with classmates, neighbors, co-workers, family, friend. The idea of faith only is so pervasive in our culture. Surely there are discussions that we have with others where that comes up, and this might help. Where we understand how faith is used in its broadest sense, and when we understand that, we have no trouble whatsoever with John 3:16. If we can assist you, if we can help you, why won't you come and let your needs be made known as we stand.